Truth and song, amen. I don't know about you, but that sure is my prayer. I want to give everything I've got to Jesus. He sure is worthy of it. I know I don't do it all the time, but that sure is my desire. And so what a great truth and song. I thank y'all for singing that. You can take your Bibles tonight and go to 2 Samuel chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15 for the message. Brother Allen was mentioning the stuff at the youth center, and I think he failed to mention, you may have mentioned, Brother Allen, I don't know, but the sign out on the field. I don't know if he mentioned that, but there is a sign, not just the banner that they put out, but the church has purchased the sign, and I actually saw it yesterday. I think it says, come visit us. Is that what it says? Come be with us, come visit us, something like that, and it's got a sign of the church. It's got the church website. I saw it. Kelsey posted some pictures of the ball field yesterday, Sister Sharon. And I just, in the background, I seen a sign out in the outfield that said Fellowship Baptist Church. And so at the ball fields in Greene County, there's a sign that stays on the outfield fence line that says Fellowship Baptist Church. So it's just a great great way to try to be a light in the community. And so that's a good thing. Thank you, Brother Allen, for heading that up. And just good to hear about Andrew. I don't know, Andrew? Amen. What a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. I think sometimes I was sitting there as he was announcing that, I was thinking, we just really don't know what happened. We really don't. There's no telling what God's going to do with Andrew's life. We could have just sat here and heard a young man that God's going to use in a great way. I believe God's going to use him in a great way, but ways that we just don't understand. You never know when you know, who knew when Charles Spurgeon stood up and said he was going to preach that he was going to be Charles Spurgeon. And you could go on and on. And that's a big deal, young man surrendering his life to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited for you, Andrew. And I believe God's going to use you in a great way. And that's just exciting. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. I want to get into the message tonight. I'm going to do what I did last week in that I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground. I told you last week at the beginning of the message that I feel like I want to kind of close out the life of David, and so I'm going to begin to start covering numerous chapters at a time in the end of David's life here. I don't want to rush through it, but I just want to move through it. And so last week we looked at some failures that I believe in David's life. One of the greatest failures was a parental failure in David's life, and we looked at chapters 13 and mainly chapter 14. And tonight I want to look at a couple more chapters, and I want us to see two things about David's life in these chapters. I'm going to look at 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and we'll look at through chapter 19, but mainly in chapter 15. Let me read a couple verses of scripture to you first, and then I'll give you the thought that I want to preach tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 15. The Bible says in verse number 13, it says, "And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And so I want to read verses 14. I want to go jump over. I'm not going to, for sake of time, I want to jump over to verse number 30. Verse number 30, it says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." I want to speak to you tonight about David in some dark days. You know, as you look at David's life, I'm not going to take the time tonight to lay all the groundwork of what exactly was going on in this event. I think most of you are familiar with it. David's son Absalom, who I mentioned many times in the message last week, David's son Absalom has finally come back to Jerusalem, and David and his relationship is still not what it needs to be, and Absalom begins to steal the hearts of the people. And Absalom rises up in a rebellion, and the Bible says in verse number 13 that messenger came and said, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And so they're beginning to follow Absalom, and David realizes he's got to get out of Jerusalem. And so David is leaving Jerusalem. He's fleeing the city of David. And I want to just get this in our heads tonight, because I want us to understand what exactly is happening in David's life. These are some of the darkest days of David's life. Now, I want to make this clear. I do believe that these dark days that David is experiencing are the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. We looked at that the last couple weeks, how that God had said some things were going to happen in David's life because of the sin that he had committed. And I've told you time and time again that sin has consequences. God has forgiven David. David is clean with God, but the consequences of his sin are still in place. The wheels that started turning are still turning. And David is facing some dark days because of his sin. But I do want to say this. You know, sometimes we face dark days because of our sin. But sometimes we face dark days because of sin. Does that make sense to you? We live in a sin-cursed world. And because we live in a sin-cursed world, that means that sometimes there's going to be dark days in our life. Sometimes those dark days are going to be because of our own actions and consequences of our own sin. And sometimes those dark days may be the actions and consequences of someone else's sin, as it is in this situation. Many people are facing these dark days with David. And some of the dark days that we face are not because of sin that we did or because necessarily sin that someone else done. It's just the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world and sin brings upon us dark days. You understand what I'm saying? And David is in some dark days in his life. You know, as I've studied the life of David, there's some debate about some of the Psalms that David wrote. I want you to turn to Psalm. Hold your place here. We're going to come back. Turn to Psalm 55, if you would. There's a little debate about as to when exactly David wrote Psalm 55. Personally, after my study, I believe Psalm 55 was written during this period of David's life. I'm not so sure that these days of David's life are not the darkest days in David's life. You know, we look through the years that David spent in the wilderness on the run from Saul, but during that period of time, there was moments where David got a little down and David probably got a little depressed, but for the most part, the Lord was with David. And David knew what was going on in his life and he was just waiting on God, and I'm sure there were some dark days, but I believe these days in David's life were just a little different. I mean, David is in a dark place. He's no longer on the throne in Israel, though he's still the king, and 2 Samuel makes that clear, that he's the king. It continuously calls him King David. It wants us to know that David is the king, not Absalom. But though David is the king, he's not sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. David is on the run because there's been a rebellion. And not only is there a rebellion, but it's from his own family. It's his own son. David has been betrayed. David's kingdom is being stripped from him. And David is just in a dark place in his life. He's going through a difficult time. Psalm 55, if you're there, I gave you time to get there. I believe Psalm 55 was written during these days. The Bible doesn't tell us, and I want to make that very clear. There's a little debate as to whether David wrote this during his wilderness years when Saul was pursuing him, or whether he wrote this during the rebellion of Absalom. I'll show you why I believe it was during the rebellion of Absalom. In verse number 12, it says this. It says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Most people believe that David is talking about Ahithophel here, one of his advisors, one of his counselors, one of the men that we talked about a couple weeks ago that most people believe was the grandfather of Bathsheba. He's turned against David, and for that reason, when David wrote Psalm 55, I believe David's talking about Ahithophel, and David's talking about Absalom, and so I think Psalm 55 is during that period of David's life, and I want you to see what he said in verse number 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, he said, "My heart is sore pained within me." I want you to get a hold of what David is saying. I'm really trying to lay the groundwork here before I get into my message and I just give you two thoughts tonight. But I want us to understand where David's at, because I believe that there will come a time in each of our lives where we'll find ourselves here. I would dare say that there's probably someone in the auditorium tonight, if not more than someone, there could be numerous people that are already in this place that David's in. David said, "My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, with an exclamation point. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Do you see what David's saying? David's saying, if I could, I would escape. If I could, I would run and hide. If I had wings like a dove, I would fly away. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at the place in your life where you just felt like, I wish I could go and hide? I wish I had wings and I could just fly away to some far place and hide and escape from all my troubles, from all the pain that I'm facing, from all the difficulties that I'm looking at, from the darkness that's in my life. Sometimes we just get to the place in our life where we just want to get away. And sometimes it's because of some action that we've taken and the consequences of our sin that get us to the place that we just want to run and hide. But sometimes it's just the consequences of being a sinner, of living in a sinful world. It's just the consequences of life. Sometimes dark days come upon us and we just want to run and hide. We just want to escape. We just want to get away from all the pain. And that's where David finds himself in 2 Samuel chapter number 15. You can turn back there. David just wants to disappear. He wants to hide from all of his problems. He's in a dark place. And I want us to look tonight at two things that I believe help David survive these difficult days. Two things. I read these chapters over and over. Chapter 15 through chapter 19, and I'm sure there's some more in there, but I saw two things that really jumped out at me. And honestly, if I'm 100% honest with you, I even saw it a little bit in action this past week. I may mention that here in a moment. But I think when we're in difficult times, when we're in dark days, when we're in a place in our life where we just feel like we want to escape, we just want to get away, I want to give you two things tonight that I believe will help you get through those days. I think we find it in David's life. David, there's two things that jump out at me that David had that helped him to get through the difficult days. And this is the title of my message tonight, Faith and Friends. Faith and Friends. David is in a dark place. David is leaving the throne in Israel. David is on the run. There's a rebellion. His own son wants to kill him. The people that he's loved and he's shepherded all these years have turned on him. And David is fleeing back into that wilderness that he once lived when he was on the run from Saul. And two things I believe are going to get David through these dark days. And number one is his faith. And number two is his friends. First, I want to look at his faith. I think we see here David's faith in numerous ways throughout this trial he is facing. In chapter number 15, the first place I think we see his faith is in verse number 24. Now, it's all through this story, but I'm just going to point out a couple places. Look at verse number 24 of chapter number 15. It says, and lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. Now, you say, that doesn't sound like faith. Oh, you're about to see it is. You say, why does David not want the ark? David was the one that desired the ark. We looked at that. David had a desire for the ark to be in Jerusalem. And now David's saying, hey, take the ark back. I think it's an act of faith. David told these priests, these men had good intentions. These priests, these Levites, they had brought the ark of the covenant out to the King David. They said, David, let's take the ark with us. Let's take the presence of God with us. And David says, no, take the ark back to Jerusalem. And I believe that David sending the ark back to Jerusalem was an act of faith. David was saying, look at what he says in verse number 25. Verse number 24, it says, it went up to all the people passing out. The king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. And look at what he says. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. You see the faith here? Do you see it? David's saying, hey, look, take the ark back to Jerusalem, because if God wants to, God is going to take me back to the ark and he's going to take me back to Jerusalem. David is exercising faith in this dark day in his life. These difficult times, David is saying, I'm going to put my faith and my trust in God. Look at what he says in verse number 26. He said, but if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. That is a man of faith. You know what David is saying? The first place I see his faith is his faith in surrender. His faith, or you could say in submission. David basically says, God, you do what you want to do. David's saying, God, I did a lot of this. I deserve this. And God, if you choose to, then you can take me back to the ark and you can take me back to the throne. But God, if you choose not to, you can do it. David is surrendering himself to God in the dark place in his life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was thinking about that when I read that. You know what I thought about? Maybe some of you thought about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, oh, no, King, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship that golden image. And God is able to deliver us. But if he does not, be it known unto thee, O King, we're not going to bow down. They were saying, you know what? It's in God's hands. I trust God. I surrender and submit myself to God. And you know, when we're in dark days, I'm just talking to you tonight from the Bible and from my heart. When we're in a dark place and we're going through difficult days, you know what we've got to do sometimes? We've just got to have faith and we've just got to surrender and we've just got to submit and say, God, whatever you will, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what David's saying. It's very interesting. I'm not going to get into it, but there's a lot of types here. The route that David takes out of Jerusalem up to Mount Olivet and all through Kidron and these places that we're going to see David go, if you were to read those names, you know what you're going to find? It's the same trail that Jesus went. And Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. There's a lot of types here in this story, but I'm not preaching them tonight. But David is surrendering to God. He's saying, God, whatever you choose to do, not my will, but thy will be done. David is exercising faith. He's exercising faith. Look at chapter 16 real quick. Chapter 16, verse number 11, the Bible says this. I'm skipping a little bit, but chapter 16 and verse number 11, it says, and David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamin do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And you know the story here. This man Shimei, as David's leaving out of the city, this man comes out and he's throwing dirt and he's throwing stones and he's cursing David and he's calling him a bloody man and he's saying that David's getting what he deserves. And Abishai, one of David's men, he says, King, I'll go over, I'll cut his head off. It's literally, you can read it. He said, I'll go over and cut his head off. And David says, don't do it. Let him be. David is surrendering to God. David said, if the Lord be, I just read it to you. He said, he'll requite me good for this. God will repay. God will take care of Shimei if the Lord chooses to. David said, I'm not going to do that. David is surrendering and submitting to God during this difficult, dark trial in his life. And so when we're going through difficulties, when we're going through dark days, number one, we need to faith. We need to have faith. We need to have faith to surrender, to submit, to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. I pulled up a song, the lyrics to a song. I used to love this song. Nobody ever sings this song anymore. I'm putting a request in. No, I'm not putting a request in, but I think this is going back 20 plus years. One of y'all that's been here a long time, and it's only a handful of y'all. I didn't mean that like y'all old, okay? I just meant you were here when we came here 21 years ago, okay? That's what I meant, right? Or 20 years ago when we came here. You came here in 2006, right? Yeah, so 20 years ago. Miss Campbell, I believe, used to sing this song. How many of you remember Miss Campbell? I'm going to show how many. There's only a handful of you, as I said, that even remember Miss Campbell, okay? So Miss Campbell, I believe, used to sing God on the Mountain. Am I right there? Jennifer's looking at me like, I don't think so. I don't know. I want to say Miss Campbell sang this song. But anyway, I love the song God on the Mountain. You know, it says, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Second verse is the one I was thinking of. It says, you talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. But talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. You see, David's going through a trial. David is going through temptations. David is going through a valley. He's not on the throne up on the hill on Zion's hill in Jerusalem. No, he's going down into the wilderness, but yet David is still exercising faith. And so his faith is going to get him through this trial, his faith to surrender, his faith to submit, his faith to supplicate. Look at verse number 30. The Bible says this. It says, and David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head and went up weeping as they went up. And verse 31 says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, look at it, oh Lord, I pray thee. I thought this morning when Pastor was preaching and he was talking about when Peter was sinking out on the waves that night, and Peter said, Lord, save me. And Pastor mentioned this morning that sometimes when we pray, it's just a quick, to-the-point prayer. I think that's what David prayed here. David said, oh, Lord, I beseech thee. Turn the counsel of Ahithophel. God, I need you to step in and intercede and work in this situation. And so we see that David had faith even in this trial, even in this darkness, even in this difficult time in his life. David had faith to pray. He supplicated. He went to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 32 says this. It says, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, look at this, where he worshiped God. Where he worshiped God. David's on the run. David's son has rebelled. David's throne is being taken from him. But you know what David's doing? He's worshiping God. He's exercising faith. He's trusting the Lord. He's praying. He's worshiping. And we see his faith and his surrender. We see his faith and his supplication. And then last, we see his faith and his song. I want you to turn to Psalm 3. Now, I can't prove to you that David wrote this psalm up on the mountain where he worshiped the Lord. I'm not sure that he did, but I think this is probably where it began. It wasn't long after. Psalm 3 clearly states when David wrote this psalm. Look at it, verse number 1. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. So we see first David in this song, this psalm that he wrote. We see his faith, and we see the conflict that he wrote in this song. He says, there's many that are against me. They've increased that trouble me. David says, there people are saying there's no help for him. And look at verse number 3. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I believe David could be talking about that cry that he cried on the way up to Mount Olivet when he cried out to God when he was fleeing from Absalom. If you look at the top of Psalm 3, my Bible says a psalm of David when he fled from his Absalom, his son. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You see, David is writing a song, and this is a song of faith. David is in a dark place, but he's saying, hey, God is still with me. And we see that David is talking about his comfort in God. He says, Lord, you're a shield for me, that you're my protector. I don't need horses and chariots. God, you're my shield. You're my glory. God, you're the lifter up of my head. He said, God, I laid me down and slept and awake, and you sustained me. David said, even out here in the wilderness, even out here on the run, God, I can lay my head down and sleep because I know that you're for me. And God, that gives me comfort. And so if you're going through a dark place, if you're going through difficult days, just remember, have faith. Have faith. God is with you. David has faith in God, and he talks about his comfort in God, and then he talks about his confidence in God. Look at verse number 6. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Blessing is upon thy people, Selah. You see, David wrote this song. David wrote this psalm when he was on the run from Absalom during this rebellion. You see what I'm saying? David is in a dark place, but he still got faith. He still got faith. We see his faith and his surrender and his submission to God. God, if you choose, you can defeat Absalom and bring me back. But God, if you choose not to, not my will, but thy will be done. We see his faith and his supplication. He's praying, oh God, please work in this situation. We see his faith in his song in Psalm 3, where David is writing this psalm of faith, really is what he's saying. He's saying, God, I'm in a conflict and I've got all these enemies risen up against me, but God, I've got comfort. I can lay my head down and go to sleep tonight because I know that you're in control. And God, I'm confident that salvation is of the Lord. God, I'm confident that if anybody can deliver me, if anybody can save me, if anybody can help me, it's you. And we've got to remember that in the dark. I know it's easy. Hey, listen, as I'm preaching to you, it's like that song I just wrote. It's easy to say this when you're up on the mountain. You with me? It's easy for me to tell you, oh, have faith in God. Just submit to Him. Just surrender to God. Just pray and talk to God. Just sing a song to God and just trust in God when you're on the mountain. It's easy. But when you're in the valley, when you're going through difficult times, when your family has turned their back on you, when people you love have betrayed you, when your kingdom's falling apart, your business is going bankrupt, you with me? When everything that you've built your life upon is crashing around you, when you feel like you just want to get wings of a dove and fly away and hide somewhere, it's not so easy then. See, it's easy up on the mountain to talk about faith. But when we're in the valley, that's when we really find out what we're made of. And I think David is in a dark place. He's in a difficult time, but David is exercising faith. He's saying, God, I trust you, even in this difficulty. God, even in this dark time, I'm going to trust you. And so we see David's faith. Number two, we see David's friends, and I'm going to give these to you quickly. I see that David's faith got him through these dark days, but I also see that David had some friends. Go back to chapter 15 of 2 Samuel. Look at verse 19. Now, y'all have to forgive me, okay? Because I may attempt to pronounce some names here. And I don't want y'all laughing, okay? I want to see y'all get up here and try to pronounce. If you laugh at me, I'm going to ask you to tell me how to say it, okay? But in chapter number 15, verse number 19, the Bible says, then said the king to Ittai. I'm looking to see if anybody's laughing, right? The Gittite. Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. So whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may return thou? And take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. So what happened is this man, Ittai, I guess I don't know how you say it, but anyway, this man, the Gittite, he comes to David. And he says, David, I'm going with you. And he's got some men with him. And David says, don't go with me. I don't even know if I'm coming back. Just return. Go back to Absalom and serve him. There's no need for you to have to flee. There's no need for you to have to go through what I'm about to go through. Just turn back. Don't go with me. He says, you just came. Look at it. He says, whereas thou camest but yesterday. Now, I don't think that means literally yesterday. I think David's saying, you haven't even been with me a long time, right? You didn't grow up with me. You're not my family. You don't owe this to me. You've just been following me for a short period of time. You came just yesterday. And David says, turn back. Just go back and look at what he says to David. Verse 21, Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to him, look, go and pass over. How do you respond to that? Who's that remind you of? Ruth. The story of Ruth, right? Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where thou go, I'll go. Your God is my God. I'm going to go where you go, right? Remember that story? Well, that's what we have here. This man, a Gittite, you understand who the Gittites are? They're of Gath. They're Philistines. These are the enemies of Israel. And this man says, David, I'm going to go with you. If you're leaving, I'm leaving. I'm going with you. If I've got to die with you, I'll die with you. That is a friend, brethren. And you know what I named this man? I've got names and they're alliterated for these friends. I said, this is a surprising friend. David's found a friend from Gath, a friend, a Gittite, a Philistine, somebody that's not even of Israel, that's saying to David, I'm willing to die with you. You know when you're going through difficult times, doesn't someone just always surprise you? There's always that friend that just kind of surprises you. Like you didn't expect it. Like you expect it from some people, but there's that one person that just steps up and they're there and they're helping and they're going with you through this trial and trying to get with you through this difficulty. It's a surprising friend. Thank God for those surprising friends that God sends into our lives. We've all had them. A friend that just shows up and the next thing you know, God has knitted your hearts together and you have a true friend, somebody that's willing to die with you, this man says. And so I see first the surprising friend. This man, David says, you haven't been with me no time. Just turn back. He says, no, I'm going with you. So we see the surprising friend. Not only this, I see spiritual friends. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, and lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him. If you don't know, Zadok is the priest, and he comes to David. And if you'll read down, there's another priest, Ahimaaz. Right? I don't know how you say that, but another priest, they come to David and they bring the ark and they say, we're here with you. And so I said, we have surprising friends, but then David has some spiritual friends. These priests, they bring the Ark of the Covenant out to David and they say, let's take the ark and let's get through this difficult time. Aren't you glad for the spiritual friends God puts in your life? The people that you know are praying for you. Like when you get that text message, when you're going through that dark place and you're in the middle of them difficult days and you're facing a bad trial and all of a sudden your phone vibrates or beeps and you pick it up and it's that friend that's spiritual that says, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And they share a verse of scripture with you and try to encourage you. You see, everybody needs some spiritual friends. Somebody that's going to bear the burden with you. Somebody that's going to pray for you. Somebody that's going to encourage you. Somebody that's going to share the word of God with you. And David had some spiritual friends. Not only that, he had some surprising friends. He had some spiritual friends. He had some sacrificial friends. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and the earth upon his head. Look down verse number 37. I'm going to skip real quickly. It says, so Hushai, David's friend, you see that? David's friend came into the city and Absalom came into Jerusalem. You know, if you read over, I think it's in chapter 16 or 17, the next time it mentions this man, it says David's friend. And what happened is this man, he comes out and he says, David, I'm going to go with you. He finds out that David's fleeing the kingdom. And he says, David, king, I'm going with you. And you know what David tells him? He says, no, I'll tell you what. You go back and basically you be a spy. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. If you were to read commentaries, there's a lot of debate about whether this is right or wrong because this man is going back and in some ways he's going to be deceptive to Absalom and he's going to twist the truth a little bit and he's going to be undercover and he's going to be a spy. You can say he's going to be deceitful and so there's some people that say that this wasn't right. I'm not here to preach whether it's right or wrong. All I'm trying to say is this is David's friend. The Bible says it's his friend.
and he's willing to sacrifice. He's going back to Jerusalem where Absalom is. You know, it actually even says, well, look at where Absalom, when he comes back, turn to chapter number 16. Man, wherever he comes to Absalom, Absalom basically says to him, I can't find it. Absalom basically says to him, what are you doing here? Right? I can't find it. I'm sorry, but it's here. I know it's here. It's where it calls David, it calls him David's friend again. Basically, he says, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You're supposed to, what kind of friend are you to leave my father, right? What are you doing? Why aren't you out there with my father? So this man is sacrificing. He's risking his life for David. He's going back to Absalom. There's a good chance Absalom's going to kill him, but he's willing to take that chance because David is his friend. Aren't you thankful for the friends in your life that sacrifice? That's willing to go the extra mile, that's willing to do a little bit more, that's willing to put some skin in the game? The friends that are not just in it for what they can get, but the friends that are in it for what they can give. You know what I'm talking about? When you're going through a trial, you need those kind of friends. We see his surprising friends, his spiritual friends. We see his sacrificial friends. Go to chapter 17. I've only got two more. We're almost done. Go to chapter 17. We're going to see his supportive friends. Now, this is where y'all might laugh at me. Look at verse number 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogillim. Now, how y'all feel about that? That was all right, wasn't it? Done better than I thought it would. Did y'all notice one of those names? Lodabar. Did you notice that? That's the same guy. If you were to go back, you know who that is? That's who Mephibosheth was living with. That's the kind of man he is. He's the guy that had Mephibosheth living in his house, taking care of Mephibosheth when he was a cripple before David called him and brought him to it. Well, this man and some other men here, they come to David, and look at what it says they done. In verse 28, they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in this wilderness. You know, when I read that, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 23. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here's David in the presence of his enemies. His kingdom is trying to be torn from him. People are rebelling against him. Absalom wants to kill him. And here's David out in the wilderness, and God sends some friends along to support David, to bring him some honey and some butter and some sheep and all kinds of good stuff here. And they set a table for David in the wilderness. I call them supportive friends. Aren't you thankful for those supportive friends that'll do this right here? When you're in a dark place, they'll show up, and they won't just show up. They'll have a meal with them when they come. They'll meet the need that you have at that time of your trial. That's a supportive friend. I'm just telling you, I believe David got through these difficult days in his life because of his faith and because of his friends. God sent some people into David's life to help David get through this dark time in his life. And if you've been through difficult days, and if you've been through dark days, you could amen what I'm saying, because God has sent some friends into your life. We see the supportive friends. And then last, we see a straightforward friend. Go to chapter 19, and this will be my last one. And I'm going to close. Now, this character right here, he's a series in himself. One of these days, I might preach a couple messages on Joab. Joab is something else. And Joab has his faults, and Joab has his problems, and there's no denying that. But I do believe that Joab was David's friend. Now, he did some things. That's up for debate, but I believe Joab was David's friend. I believe David was Joab's friend. Through ups and downs, I believe they were friends. But look at verse number 9, chapter number 19. It says in verse number 5, and Joab came into the house to the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, and that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. You see that? His friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. And verse 8 says, the king arose and set in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth set in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled, every man to his tent. I didn't read it all to you, but you know the story. Absalom died. David was just defeated, and he cried, oh, Absalom, my son, oh, Absalom. He said, would to God I would have died instead of you. And Joab came to King David, and he told him, David, if you don't get out there and sit out there on the throne, if you don't get out there in front of those people, you're going to lose your kingdom, and it's going to be worse than it's ever been. Joab was a straightforward friend. Aren't you thankful for straightforward friends? I mean, David had a couple of them. We remember just a couple weeks ago, Nathan said, thou art the man. David, it's you. You're the problem. And I'm just telling you, you need some friends in your life. I need some friends in my life that'll tell us the hard thing. That'll look us square in the eyeball because they love us, because they care about us, and they'll tell us the truth. David needed to hear the truth, especially sometimes in the dark days. Sometimes when you're in the difficult place, sometimes when you're in that very low valley, that's when you don't want anybody to tell you the truth. And most people that are not your friends, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come along and tell you what you want to hear. But you need a friend that's going to look you in the face and say, I love you. You got to get up. You got to go forward. You got to dust off, and you got to move forward for God. And I'm telling you, that's a true friend. That friend that will come to you while you're down, while you're in a dark place, while you're desperate, and will look you in the face in love, but be honest and straightforward with you and tell you the truth. Paul said, I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. He said, I'm your friend. And that's the kind of friend we all need. And so David got through these difficult days because of faith and friends. Aren't you thankful for friends? I sure am thankful for the friends in my life. Some of them are in this room. Many of them are. But I mean some dear friends that have been this to me. They've been spiritual friends. They've been supportive friends. They've been sacrificial friends. They've been straightforward friends. And some of them have even been surprising friends. Thank God for friends. Be a friend. Be this person. You know, we have a friend. I sure am thankful for Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's supportive. He's sacrificial. He's straightforward. He's spiritual for sure. And I'll tell you, he's even surprising because it's like, why would he be my friend? What would make him want to be friends with me? But he is. Thank God for friends. You can close your Bibles. I'm going to say this and then I'm done. I mentioned that I seen this acted out this week. I don't think I'm going to do any harm by mentioning this. Sister Karen, it's good to see you here tonight. I sit there Friday at Charlie's funeral, and I laughed and I cried. And you know what I saw Friday at Charlie's funeral? I saw faith and friends. I really did. I saw a man that had faith. I saw a woman that has faith. And I saw some friends that were supporting. Some friends that were sacrificing. Some friends that honestly, maybe if you were to look back over your life, just scaring, you'd probably be like, that's kind of surprising. I never thought we would be that good. I never thought that person would do it. But thank God for friends. I don't say this for no other reason than I know it to be so. Listening to Jimmy preach and speak at Brother Charlie's funeral, it was obvious to anybody that was there, they were friends. They were friends. Thank God for friends. Ann, Bruce, it's obvious through all this difficult time that Sister Karen's been going through and all these dark days that Brother Charlie walked through, they had some friends. They had faith. I know it. I've seen it. If you ever talked to Charlie, you know it. You saw it. You're talking about a man with faith. Had a song in the trial. But not only did they have faith, they had friends. And you know, when we go through dark places, difficult days, it's going to take faith and it's going to take friends. And these two things, I really believe, helped David get through this period of his life. And I believe God's used it to get through some periods in my life and probably some periods in your life, and I believe he'll continue to. It's faith and friends. Now, you could say family, but I think, you know, I thought about that. I almost said family, but you know, family may not be a friend, but a friend can be family, right? Does that make sense to you? A friend can be like family. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, right? But now some family, they're not too friendly, right? But a friend, they can become family. And so faith and friends, thank God for them. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll end the service. I'm going to have Emily begin to play. I appreciate your attention tonight.